It is 10 o'clock on Tuesday, January 19th, and we're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. First item on the agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance. You can all stand and join me. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, thank you. Next item on the agenda is to approve the agenda for January 19th, 2021. Is there any public comment regarding the agenda for today?
Mr. Chairman, there's one staff comment.
All right, go for it.
We'd like to continue number 9 as a presentation by cooperative extension. I'd like to continue it to February 2nd, County Commission meeting at the courthouse /Zoom.
Noted, thank you.
There will be some more submission of some backup materials too for help for the public.
Great, thank you. Is there any other public comment? Just giving a minute here. All right, not seeing any public comment. If the commissioners are good, have a motion for approval.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. And Lance, I don't want to jump all over you to make motions as much as you like, but I'm happy to do that as well. So.
I appreciate that, Clay. I'll tell you, I think in the interest of coordination, because we're doing this Zoom thing, if you want to go ahead and pick up the motions, I appreciate it. I'll be the second. And unless we get into something unusual.
Very good. Then I, Clay Mitchell, move to approve the agenda for our meeting today, January 19th, 2021.
And I'll second that motion.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Next on the agenda is approval of the minutes for December 1, 2020. Is there any public comment regarding the minutes? Not seeing any. If the commission is good, I'm going to entertain a motion, please.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I could mention move to approve the minutes for the meeting from December 1st, 2020.
I'll second.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Next is the consent agenda. If everybody's good, we can get a motion. No motion. Yes, motion for the consent agenda.
Chairman?
Yes.
We'll need to ask a public comment on the consent agenda.
My apologies, Keith. Thank you. Is there any public comment regarding the consent agenda? Any comments from the commission? All right. Clay, would you like to make a motion, please?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Clay Mitchell, move to approve the consent agenda for me.
I'll second.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Next, we're moving on to public comment. Is there any public comment from anybody in the audience? All right, not seeing anybody. We will move on to staff reports. One second here. All right, we're going to start off with the sheriff's office. Is he with us today? Sheriff Antonoro?
Good morning, commissioners. Just a couple of things that I have. Imagine that a lot of folks are aware of it by this point in time, but just want to make mention of the passing of two former county employees, Linda Larson and Roger Hartley. Both of them worked for the sheriff's office for many, many years. Both of them died earlier this month. Just wanted to be sure you were both, or you were all three aware of that. The other thing that I have was, if you've seen a press release out of Reno about a Reno riots suspect arrested by the U.S. Marshals Service Fugitive Task Force, we do have a deputy who is assigned to that task force, so the sheriff's office name appears on it. We were not actively involved in the arrest. We're just members of the task force. So unless anybody has questions.
Any questions from the commission?
No questions.
All right. Thank you, Sheriff. Appreciate the update. We will move on to the fire department. Is Chief Longcar on with us today?
Good morning, Commissioners. Jeremy Longcar for the record. Good
morning.
Just a couple of updates for you. One is we're getting ready to do our final inspection of our ambulance, which we hope to take delivery about 2 weeks. So that is coming up. The inspection is Thursday. As well, I'm currently working on the year 2021-2022 FEMA Assistance Firefighter Grant. And that was due the end of the month, and right now we're looking around for $300,000, so if we're successful, that should hopefully cover personal protective equipment for our guys. The entire department should cover quite a few years. Other than that, I have nothing else to report.
All right. Any of the commissioners have any questions for Chief Longcar?
No, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. Next is Public Works. We have Jason Rzbicki with us today.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioner, Jason Rzbicki for the record.
Morning.
Just have a couple quick updates here. We're currently working to get ready to go out to bid for the 2020 road rehab project. That does consist of slurry seal, Venice Drive, and Tri, slurry West Denmark and Tri, slurry Denmark Drive, Slurry London, KXL Ireland, KXL Megabyte, and a full reconstruct down on Mark Twain on Eagle Lane. And we are also working to go out to bid for repairs on Cartwright Road and KXL on that as well. One other item is we're working on the water tap for the fire sprinkler system for the depot as well this week. So if you have any questions, feel free.
Great, thank you. Commissioners, have any questions for Jason?
No questions.
All right, thanks again for the update, Jason. Projects coordinator, Mike Northan, is he on today? All right, I do not see him. Do we have Becky from dispatch?
Yes, I'm here. We're still working on our new building, and we have a few items left to do. We've got to get past a couple roadblocks and make sure that Motorola will let us still switch over. Other than that, I have the electricians here right now to get that finished up, and we're still moving forward.
Great. Do you have is there a date for move-in yet?
Still no date, but we're getting closer.
Good to hear. Thank you for that. Do the other commissioners have any questions for Becky?
No questions, Dan.
All right. Thanks again, Becky. Moving along to emergency management. Joe Curtis, are you with us this morning?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I am here. Thank you. I thought I was going to be at the end of the row there, and so I was at 6 minutes to get to you.
No problem.
So, good morning, everyone, Mr. Chairman, commissioners, and the public. I have a number of things that I just want to run through real quick here, and the usual kind of briefing for you. Currently, we are standing at 68 total cases over the time from March 1st to this date. And we only have had two deaths of that, so we're still very fortunate. We have the best record in the county record in the state, again, this period. However, we did get a flag for having testing staff that do not meet the level of testing required for 100,000 population. But that being said, we still have a 3.1%, but that apparently is not quite good enough to not get a flag for that. That's one of the problems that we have because of our low population in the county, and we get a lot of other people, although we crank a lot through COVID testing, there's a lot of people that come from other counties, so we might, if we test 80 people, it might not be 80 Story County people. And that creates a bit of a problem. Again, I noticed that most of the visitors this weekend, and it was pretty packed in the town this weekend, were pretty good at wearing masks. There, of course, were some without, but they were, our visitors were seeming to be good. And I think the signs that we put out at the mouth ends of town suggesting wearing masks, I think, is having a factor. The total number of cases for the Quad County now stands at 10,212. And you have to remember that a lot of those cases are actually inmates at the state prison that get attached to Carson City. So that's why that case goes up so high. We have, for the last 20 days, we have a zero positivity rate. We have not had any new cases in the past 20 days. So, and we're starting to see a bit of that trend within the Quad County as well. We did COVID testing in Lockwood last Wednesday the 13th, and it was very slow. We did not have that many come through. We did not do vaccinations, but it wasn't that very many at all. We didn't think there would be many, and there weren't. Next week, Wednesday the 27th, we'll be having vaccinations and COVID testing up here in Virginia City at the at our new location, which I'll give you some info about here in just a moment. The vaccinations will be from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the second dose vaccinations. That's those people that were here before and got their first dose. Only the Story County, or only those people that tested or they got their vaccination on 8 days ago, essentially. And then from 11 to 1, will be those who have appointments for first dose vaccinations. And keep in mind that these are all strictly by appointment only. It's no stop in and get one. You must have an appointment. We will do the COVID testing in the afternoon from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. on the 27th. As of this morning, it appears that we will be having 3 vaccination sites in February and possibly more. We are currently working with Carson City Health and Human Services, and we are working with plans that they have helped to coordinate for us with Safeway stores, actually. And they will come and provide the resources to provide the vaccinations when we set up a pod. We'll be meeting with them tomorrow. Laura has been discussing this with the folks, and there'll be a meeting tomorrow to put down more specific information. And we'll have more on this in the next few days. But Safeway is has pharmacists and have an allotment for our county, and it'll be strictly for our county residents, the Story County residents only. Last week when the governor opened the gates to 70-plus people, it overwhelmed the appointment system and created a number of problems. So we're working through getting those problems squared away with the appointment books and that sort of thing. If you're over 70, if you are trying to make an appointment and have not been able to do so, if you want to contact Stacy York at the Senior Center, Story County Senior Center here in Virginia City, at 847-0957. They have some resources that they can assist you with making an appointment via the computer system. So if you have questions on that and you're over 70, you can contact our Senior Citizen Center. You can also contact the Community Chest here in Virginia City. And their number is 847-9311. and they also are assisting with getting people over 70 appointments. Remember that 70 only, 70 and over only for those appointments. And you'll have to be able to prove your age. So the tier system has somewhat been scrapped. The categories have been reorganized. And we're not sure at this time what will be the next one to open up or when it will open up. But when we get that information, we'll get that out to you in rapid fashion. We have, we have decided to change our location for our COVID testing and vaccinations here up in Virginia City. And this was a direct result of 2 weeks ago on Monday when we had the nasty windstorm and horizontal rain that came through. We have arranged to move, and we did move, the quick space container down to E Street between Union and Sutton. And it's on the east side of E Street. So we will be holding COVID testing and COVID vaccinations as we move forward at that location on E Street. More to follow specifically on that too. We're working further to get that all in order and in place. But the quick space container has been moved there. In the future, as the vaccinations roll out to more generalized people, we hopefully will get more information on that, but I'm sure that it will probably be someone by appointment as well, so more on that later. Weather looks to be a bit more active towards the end of this week and into next week, so just kind of keep an ear out for the weather factors, and that would be the end of my report, unless there's any questions for January 19th.
Thank you very much for that, Joe. Do my fellow commissioners have any questions for Joe?
No questions.
I have just one. Joe, are there ramifications if we don't get our testing numbers up? I mean, I guess what I'm asking is, should we use volunteers for that? Should we go round up some people to get tested?
No, we can't do that. It's not legal or proper to do that. It's strictly on a volunteer basis. And no, there really are no ramifications to us. It's just kind of a thing with me that it sure would be nice to not have any flags for Story County at all. But it also has a little bit to do with some statistical anomalies that are in the whole statistical system. So I don't think it's a big thing. It's just I say that or tell you that was flagged, just so when you see it, if you get the emails and see it and show the flag, that you don't be concerned, don't become overly concerned about that little flag.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. All right, moving on to community relations. I see Laura out there.
Good morning, commissioners. Nothing additional to report other than what Joe said in the emergency management report. Thank you.
Thank you. Joe, I'm going to go back to you real quick. We had a question from somebody out in Zoom land. The question was, what are we doing with missed appointments? Are we calling folks to fill in those appointments?
I'd like to say we were charging them $50 like the doctor does, but no, we don't. The problem with missed appointments is that means that there is a dose of material out there that may not get used. However, we have a process and we have a list in hand that because when the governor rolled out the 70 plus, that really inundated the appointment system. So we actually have some people on, if you want to call it a waiting list, not a waiting list, but a list, that would normally have gotten in under the first responders and the educators and sort of thing, which is still going on, but they work in with that. So when we get to the end of the day, occasionally we'll have two or three or four or more doses available, and we have phone numbers that we can call people and say, hey, can you get up here right away to the site, and we'll get you your vaccination. So we do have a list of 70-plus people and others within the education realm and first response realm that we can get a hold of in a hurry.
Thank you for that, Joe. Sorry to pull you back in. And I do apologize to Laura. Did the commissioners have any questions for Laura?
No questions, Laura. Thank you.
All right. Moving along, VCTC. I believe we have Denny with us today.
Yeah, good morning, commissioners. Thank you, Denny Dotson, for the record. No real update from the VCTC from the last 2 weeks, other than we continue to work on our budget overall, putting together marketing plans, special event calendars. We have a couple of capital improvement projects that we're going to be working on. So really, that's the number one focus right now going into the next couple of weeks. That's all I have.
Great. Thank you very much. Do my fellow commissioners have any questions for Denny?
No questions.
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again, Denny. Moving along, all things water and sewer, Mr. Mike Nevin.
Good morning, commissioners. For the record, Mike Nevin. I'll just give you a couple of brief updates on the two infrastructure projects that are currently in progress and ongoing. First, I'd like to talk about the Old Hill Wastewater Project. Last week, we met and conducted our USDA required pre-construction conference with all the players and the contractor. That afternoon, County Manager Osborne was able to sign the notice to proceed order to get the project rolling. The contractor did in fact start the project yesterday, Monday. This week they will be working at the site. Yesterday they did some clearing, grubbing, began the excavation for the plant slab itself. Weather holds this week. It's their anticipation to finish the excavation, apply the subgrade down in the hole, set up, pour, and finish the slab for the plant. So that's weather permitting. A little bit of wind, but other than that, if the moisture holds off, they should be able to accomplish that at the site this week down there. So that project is rolling finally, thankfully.
Glad to hear it.
I'll go ahead now with the Hillside Tank Replacement Project. The interior of the tank has pretty much been completed as far as the coating is concerned. The door frame, temporary door frame that had been installed, is being replaced with sheeting as we speak. That welding of that bottom sheeting should be completed today, and then they will go in and coat that portion, then apply the final coating to the interior of the tank, hopefully tomorrow and Wednesday. We looked at some color schemes for the exterior, and we're pretty much going to match the existing tanks so they blend in well with the surroundings up there. The exterior blasting is scheduled to start later this week, and the painting, if weather holds, will follow hopefully by the last week of the month. The other thing I'd like to mention is when the water treatment plant was constructed back in 1999, that included running some power up to a little shack up on the site up there. Over the years, there have been problems with the electrical running up to the site. And in fact, the public works crew a couple of years back now had to run an exterior line up the hill because there was some breakage underground and it could never be found. Well, when we're up there doing the excavation, what we discovered was the fact that when they installed the electrical from the water treatment plant up the hill to the site, they didn't install it in conduit. The wiring was laid in a trench and then covered up. Well, over time, that wiring has deteriorated, and that's the reason the temporary cabling had to be laid in place. When we ran the new water line up there, we decided to go ahead and put in new conduits for both fiber and electrical. And it was always known that the county would be responsible for upgrading the SCADA, and that acronym is Supervisory Control and Data Acquisition. That's the main communication link between the water treatment plant and the tanks as far as levels, when the plant starts and stops, flows into the system, and that sort of thing. Very critical infrastructure at that location. Well, initially there was some discussion on possibly rehabbing some of the equipment. We made the determination after looking at it and getting our provider that monitors that, along with the plant operators, Sierra Control Systems, the fact that some of that equipment dates back to 1996. It didn't make a lot of sense to spend upwards of $15,000 rehabbing that equipment and trying to reutilize it. So we looked at replacing everything new, including the electrical. New transformers, wiring, running all the new fiber, and all the new necessary hardware and software provisions in order to operate the SCADA. So what we did is we got a figure from the contractor, and that price came up to $39,000. $200, quite significant. So what we did following that is we took a look at some of the line item costs in resource development's contract, some of the quantities that weren't going to be utilized. We made the determination that we had $34,130 that we could reallocate. We reached out to USDA, our funding partner for the project, and they concurred and allowed us to go ahead and do a deduct, if you will, in certain line items in that amount of the $34,130. So we have a net increase to provide all new electrical and SCADA controls for the tank operations and the communications that are necessary to operate the water treatment plant and communicate with those tanks, $5,070. So I swung this past County Manager Osborne and Comptroller Jennifer McCain. We're pretty happy that we got the cost down to that amount. So we made the decision that those funds, that $5,000, will come out of the prior approved contingency for the project that the county set aside back in July. That was somewhere over the neighborhood of the $200,000. So, we're going to move forward and we'll have all new communications, all new wiring, all new transformers, along with the back that we'll have some warranty on everything. So some good news there. And basically, that concludes my update, unless you folks have any questions.
Well, thank you very much, Mike. I appreciate it. I'm glad you were able to re-divert some of those funds towards that electrical project. Do any of my fellow commissioners have any questions for Mike?
No questions. Thanks, Jake.
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again, Mike.
You're welcome.
Next on the list is the Comptroller's Office. Jennifer, are you with us today?
Good morning. I am here, and I have nothing at this time. I have a few items coming up later, so I'll talk to you soon.
All right. No questions for me. Fellow commissioners, have anything?
No questions.
All right. Next is the Assessor's Office. Jana, I see you out there.
Good morning. I have nothing to add for me today. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. No questions for my commissioners to Jana? Nope. All right. Planning Department. Is Kathy or Lindy with us today?
Good morning. This is Kathy. So I don't have anything to add this morning other than the items I have on the agenda a little bit later.
All right. Thank you very much, Kathy. The Recorder's Office. Marnie. I don't see her up there. We're going to move to IT. Anything from James today?
Good morning, Commissioners. James Dean, Story County IT Director. We launched a newsletter earlier this year. It's going to be a quarterly publication, so if departments or staff have any projects or article suggestions or pictures, please submit them to IT and we'll get them published. That's all I have today. Thank you.
Thank you. No questions for James from my fellow commissioners?
No questions.
All right. Human Resources, Toby.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have nothing to report this morning.
All right. Thank you, Toby. Community Development, Martin.
Good morning, Commissioners. Martin Esvito for the record, Community Development Director and Fire Marshal. I only have one thing. So coming up here in the next couple of months, it's time to renew our interlocal agreement with the State Fire Marshal's Office. Chief Longcar and I will be meeting and reviewing the old, the current interlocal agreement and seeing what we want to add or take out, and we'll be writing a new one. That's all I have.
Great, thank you. Commissioners, have any questions for Martin?
No questions.
All right. Community Chest, Eric Schoen.
Good morning, Commissioners, Mr. Chair. Just a couple of quick things. I wanted to reiterate what Joe had mentioned earlier, that people can call us to help mimic calls for COVID shots when we have COVID shots available, which is kind of hit and miss, which goes into my second announcement I'd like to make, which is basically I'd like folks to sort of take a step back and appreciate how complicated this whole COVID response is for Joe and Laura particularly, to manage all of this, to stand up all the vaccine clinics, the shot clinics, the swab clinics, the testing for COVID. There's an incredible amount that has to be done. And on top of that, to be so fluid about it when the circumstances are changing daily, weekly, if not daily, if not hourly. So to be able to be fluid, be adaptive, be responsive. And I look for Stacy in there as well. Her senior center has really taken on the lion's share of helping people with those calls. But it's kudos to the three of them and everybody else who's helping out with this response. It's going as well as it is in Story County, because that's not the case in all counties, just so you know. You have an exceptional team, and they're working as hard as they can. So for that, I would say, too, for people to please have patience with this, but it doesn't always go the way that it should, because there's a lot of moving parts, and there's usually some reason for why it's happening. So that's all I have. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Eric. And I do have to echo those sentiments. I was actually doing my cert duty at the last vaccination clinic with the sideways rain, and, you know, to see the team agile, and you know, just watching them work was amazing. So I do want to echo those sentiments. Any of my commissioners have any questions for Eric?
No questions. Thank you.
All right. Thanks again, Eric. Senior Center, Stacy York.
Good morning. This is Stacy York for the record. Back to COVID and vaccines. We are handling those calls since Wednesday last week when we went live with 70 and over. We have been able to make over 50 appointments for vaccines. Our waiting list is about 75 individuals right now. We're just hoping, like everybody else, for more vaccine clinics to open. Annie here, the case manager, is handling all those appointments. So like what Eric said, please have patience. She is one person and still handling all her case manager duties on top of all the vaccination appointments. And also remember, you have to be over 70 at this time. We keep receiving calls for under. We can't help you yet. Can't even make your appointments if you're not 70 years old. And on a positive note, we are going to do a Valentine's Day fundraiser. They are the roses with chocolates and stuffed animals. So you can call the senior center, place your order, and we'll have everything ready for you for Valentine's Day the Friday before. So that is all, unless there's any questions.
Great. Thank you, Stacy. What is the cost for the Valentine's Day gift?
A dozen roses is $35.
Okay.
If you want to add chocolates, it's $10, and a stuffed animal is $5.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My fellow commissioners, have any questions for Stacy?
No questions.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is Fourth Ward School out there? Nora, are you joining us today? I do not see her, so we'll move on to St. Mary's Arts Center. Erica joining us today? I don't think so. No one from V&T. How about Piper's Opera House? Is Whitney joining us today? Nope. All right. How about the Justice Court?
I'm here, actually.
Good morning, Judge.
Yeah, good morning. This is Judge Harrington for the record. I really have nothing other to say than to we're looking forward to moving into our new Justice Court. Pete Dubay and the contractor have been wonderful to deal with, and we've been really happy with Mike Northern and all of his communication with us, and also the financial oversight by Jennifer McCain, and also the ultimate oversight by Austin Osborne. So we're looking forward to it, and Pete Dubay and his crew, they're miracle workers with what they've been able to do there. Thank you, and that's all.
All right, do you have a move-in date yet?
It looks like we will be moving our office, well, we're planning to, the last week of February.
All right, you guys are almost there.
Almost there.
Thank you, yeah. Judge.
Thank you.
Any of my fellow commissioners have any questions for the judge?
No questions, thank you.
All right. The DA's office. I see we are graced by both Ann and Keith.
Nothing for me at this time. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Ann. County.
I'd add that the Mary Lou Wilson versus the county and Stericycle is moving ahead. We have a hearing set for February 9th to 19th to determine whether or not Ms. Wilson has the authority to pursue that kind of claim. We'll let you know. Nothing further.
Thank you very much, Keith. Any questions for the DA's office from my fellow commissioners?
No questions.
All right. Second to last, we have County Manager Austin Osborne. You have anything today for us?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of short things. People will notice that Total Gold Comstock Mining are doing some drilling throughout Comstock, and they have been permitted and gone through the planning department on that. The planning's been really diligent at making sure they're following the policies of the county and especially is permitting. That program shouldn't be going on too much longer. They're just doing drills for exploration. The strategic plan, because of COVID, we're kind of doing it inversely and starting off with departments individually and work our way up to the communities as hopefully we loosen up with COVID restrictions in the spring. So just be aware of that as moving forward, and Linda Ritter is still on board working with us on that program.
Thank you, Austin. Go ahead.
And I just want to remind folks down in Lockwood that if they want to get their free dump vouchers for 2021, they can go to the Canyon GID office, and then everyone else in the county can come up here, and then we're working with some folks off the hill for some other alternatives. Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. My fellow commissioners, have any questions for Austin? Nope.
No, thank you.
All right. Last but not least, the clerk's office. Vanessa, do you have anything?
Nothing today.
All right. Thank you very much. And we are going to move on to board comments. Start off with Commissioner Gilman. Do you have any comments today?
Nothing to add today. Thank you, Jerry.
All right. Thanks, Lance. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have anything?
No, thank you.
All right. I just have two comments. One, I would like to wish my eldest daughter, Juliana Carmona, a happy 18th birthday today. I cannot believe she is 18 years old. I don't know where the time goes. And Katie DeMuth from the VCTC has a birthday today. Wanted to wish her a happy birthday as well. And that does it for board comments. So item number 9 has been moved. We'll move on to item number 10. This is for discussion and possible action. A possible item adjustment to the 070-070-64160-000 capital project in the amount of $19,909.60 to purchase and install a LTO 8-tape backup solution to improve data archiving and disaster recovery services for all departments countywide. Funding will be reallocated from an existing line item in the CIP fund from a $20,000 fiber project. James, did you have anything to add to this?
Good morning, Commissioners. James Dean, Story County IT Director. This is just a beef up our security and recovery efforts. There's been quite a few ransomware and security scares this year, and we think that getting an offline solution that is not tied to the network and that we could archive all the data in the county on a monthly basis would provide for a much quicker disaster recovery. And I think it's overdue. We've been wanting to do the solution for a couple of years, but it's kind of a low-hanging fruit for budget cuts. So we've decided to reallocate funds from another project that doesn't look like we're going to have the resources to complete this year and reallocate that towards the tape backup solution. That's all I have.
Thank you, James. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Do my fellow commissioners have any questions for James regarding this item?
No questions, Jake. Thank you.
All right. If there are no questions, Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you like to entertain a motion?
I'm sure. I'd be happy to do that. I think I'd just say that I support efforts for us to be more prepared. You know, this last year has been a little unsettled in many ways, and so anything we can do to make sure that we have good continuity plans in place is a good idea. So with that, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the adjustment to the 070-070-64160-000 capital project, not to exceed $19,909.60 to purchase and install an LTO 8-tape backup solution to improve data archiving and disaster recovery services for all departments countywide.
Second motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much, James. Moving on to item number 11. This is for discussion and possible action. Approved. Yes.
Yeah, if I may, please, I hold pecuniary interest in some of the licenses that are under consideration in action. And so, therefore, I'm going to please declare that I'm going to recuse from
looking at or discussions on the issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. All right. This is to approve resolution number 21-601, providing for in-county general liquor, cabaret, brothel, and gaming business license fee reimbursement, generally equivalent to the amount paid for two quarters of fees by businesses principally impacted by use restrictions or closures due to the COVID-19 pandemic and related declaration of emergency directives issued by the governor. This is the first of two hearings on this resolution. County Manager Osborne.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a summary of this is pretty self-explanatory. It is COVID relief for the business closures and partial closures in respect to all of these different types of business licenses. So we worked together to try to come up with a feasible way to approach this that works internally with our accounting system and also provides a reasonable benefit to our businesses. So just like it said here, general businesses, that means every in-county business in the county, home-based businesses, those folks, but not out of county, they get a $50 reimbursement. Liquor licenses would be $250, cabaret would be $75, gaming would be 50%, and brothel would be 50%. Escort would not apply because there are no escort services not operating. So in this case, it'd be a pretty simple, what we call a red check, would be sent to the companies with a letter. The letter's enclosed in the packet as well, explaining what this is about. And all of these numbers are approximately 50% of the business license for quarter one, quarter two of 2020-2021 budget period. This will require two hearings, as specified in here. I've been working with Attorney Bob Morris on some of the nuances of the language. Appreciate his help. And any questions we have, we're happy to answer.
All right, we're going to go to public comment first. Is there any public comment regarding this item?
Mr. Commissioner, Danny, I do have a comment.
Okay, you have the floor.
Yeah, just want to make sure that everyone understands that a portion of these licenses, with the exception of the brothel, do come, and that's proper Virginia City businesses, do come into the VCTC. And you know, we did budget very conservatively. We don't see this as being an issue to with what we're doing with the marketing of Virginia City. So the VCTC is in full support of this.
Thank you very much. Is there any other public comment?
I have one, Mr. Chairman. It's not public, but I'm glad that Mr. Dodson brought that up. I've worked with Comptroller Jennifer McCain on a way to be able to do these reimbursements without not affecting the departments that would be involved in these licenses.
Thank you very much for that. Is there any other public comment? Not seeing any, do my fellow commissioners have any questions?
I would just say that I think in principle I support this action, and I do so because whether it was the county or some other government entity that initiated and forced these shutdowns, and the reality is that our businesses have been affected by them, and if they have not been, putting aside the question of whether you know businesses should pay for the right to do business within the county, that's the current situation that we have. And as such, if we can reduce the burden on them in a time when they have not been allowed to operate fully, I think that's the right move for us.
Thank you, Vice Chairman Mitchell. I will actually agree with your sentiments. A lot of these businesses have suffered over the last 9 months, and again, forced to close or forced restrictions, restaurants and other buildings are at 25% capacity. So, I'm glad to see that, while it may not be a lot, we are doing something to help out these folks. With that, Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you entertain a motion?
Sure, I'd be happy to. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the first hearing for Resolution 21-601, providing for in-county general restaurant, liquor, cabaret, brothel, and gaming business license fee
reimbursement generally equivalent to the amount paid for two quarters of fees by businesses principally impacted by use restriction or closures due to the COVID-19 pandemic and related declaration of emergency directives issued by the governor.
All right, there is a motion. I will second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Moving along to item number 12. This is for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible approval of franchise agreement whereby the Story County Fire Protection District is granted the exclusive franchise to provide ambulance services within the district. We're going to go to the DA for this, or Chief Longcar.
Commissioners, this is Jeremy Longcar for the record for Chief. This franchise agreement presented to you is nothing new to the area of the fire service in general. It's pretty standard practice. This is something that we've operated on years. We did need something that was newer, that has been vetted through court stuff. So what is being presented to you is regionally used, just with some changes, basically just name changes in it. This just ensures our ability to continue to provide ambulance service into the future here in Story County.
All right, thank you, Chief Longcar. Is there any public comment regarding this item?
Mr. Chairman, this is Keith Lewis. I just wanted to add one thing to Mr. Longcar's comments.
Go for it.
If you see in the staff report, there's a reference to the fact that there's a limitation on providing ambulance services within GIDs. The GID has to, number one, not have an ambulance service, and number two, be within 7 miles of an incorporated city. At the time, the staff report is unclear as to whether or not the Canyon GID and the Virginia Divide GID were within 7 miles of incorporated cities. The planning department has cleared up that issue. It appears that the Canyon GID is at 3 miles of Sparks, and that the Virginia Divide GID is within 4.3 miles of Carson City. So both of those can be covered by the franchise agreement. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Loomis. Any public comment? Not seeing any public comment. Do my fellow commissioners have any questions?
No questions, Jay.
I just have one question, and definitely a no-brainer on the emergency transport. I'm just wondering, I'm not super familiar with this. As far as non-emergency transport, does this create any sort of complication there? I don't know what kind of specific situation, maybe someone was being transported home from some sort of care or something. Is the service considered only where a pickup happens versus a drop-off? Chief Longcar, can you help me out with that?
I guess. So where it's emergency and non-emergency transport, we do have one area down in CRI that is a renowned center. We do take patients from that facility into the larger renowned Maine or other medical facilities in there. So that just ensures we continue with that practice as well. There's no one else that provides the services within the county. And they're limited in nature, so we don't do a lot of them, but we'd like to maintain that as well. Not a delay.
Very good, thank you.
Thank you. I have no questions. Vice Chairman Mitchell, if you'd like to entertain a motion.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. Just make sure I'm here. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the granting of an exclusive franchise to the fire district for the provision of ambulance services within the district and authorize the chairman to sign such.
Second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much, Chief Longcar. Moving on to item number 13. This is for discussion and possible action. Update to Story County Administrative Policies and Procedures, Policy 613, Leave for Coronavirus-Related Reasons. Toby, would you like to take this?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On this, staff is recommending the extension of certain COVID-19 emergency paid leave options
that were previously provided under the Families First Coronavirus Response Act. In doing so, we recognize that the pandemic is still ongoing and that there will continue to be COVID-19-related situations during which the employees of the county will need to have adequate leave to take when it becomes necessary to isolate, recuperate, and to avoid spreading the virus by exposing coworkers and members of our community. This is not a provision of additional leave time, but rather an extension of any balance of emergency paid sick leave that was not used during the calendar year 2020, and we're proposing an amended expiration date of June 30th, 2021.
Thank you, Toby. Are there any questions from the public? Not seeing any questions from the public, do my fellow commissioners have any questions for Toby?
No questions.
No, sir.
All right. Seeing no questions, Vice Chairman, would you like to entertain us with a motion?
I will. Based on the recommendation of staff, I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the amendments to the Story County Administrative Policies and Procedures 613, leave for the coronavirus for COVID-19-related reasons.
Second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. All right, motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Toby. Moving on to item number 14. This is for discussion only. No action will be taken. This is second quarter 2020-21 budget versus actual overview for Story County. Jennifer?
Good morning again. This is Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller for the record. I want to give a little bit of a brief overview of how we are right now. Starting with the revenue, our revenues across all funds are still looking good. We have, as of 12/31/2020, we have 50% of the year behind us. The general fund is still trending in the positive. However, it is really important to note that as of the end of the first quarter, we were ahead of collections by 10%. That ratio has dropped to 3%, and I do expect this to continue to decline. Our ad valorem is staying in realm with where we budgeted, which keeps us in a very good position. However, there are items in our revenue stream that have declined due specifically to COVID. One of those is our intergovernmental funding, which includes the gaming tax. And for example, we have collected less than 1% of what we budgeted, which is unheard of any year. So we do directly relate that to this pandemic that we're in, as well as our sales tax projections, which were made prior to the COVID pandemic, and they are currently trending 20% behind where we expected them to be. And we do not expect this to have any upturn without something major happen in the pandemic. As far as our expenses go countywide, first off, I really want to give some kudos to all the department heads that are stepping up and continue to spend conservatively. Most all departments and funds at this time, their overall expenses are at or below the 50% where we expect to see things. We have begun to loosen some of the tightness that we have on various road projects and the capital improvement projects that we felt had to get done for this year, which you've heard about, the Justice Court Complex, the dispatch new facility, those things we feel just had to get done, as well as shoring up the new DC depot, making sure that that's safe and that the building is protected. However, with all of this good news, there are a couple of line items in some budget that are worth discussing, and there are reasons for the overages. For example, the clerk treasurer's office, their line item for election expense is over what we anticipated. This, we feel, is directly related to COVID. And on a good note, our clerk treasurer, Vanessa Stevens, expects to see some reimbursement from the Secretary of State. So this will help with that overage. And we do expect no issues in augmenting that line item if we see necessary at the end of the year. Also, the records management line item for her department is over, and this is directly related to a project that was started and budgeted for last fiscal year, and unfortunately, unforeseen circumstances caused this to be delayed, so the final payments were made this year. The administrative budget, due to some staffing changes in the HR position, there is an overage in the wages and benefits there, which we have discussed prior to the changes that were made. This kind of overage is expected for a seamless transition when we have two people sitting in one position to allow for training, tying up loose ends, and those kinds of things. As well with that, we are prepared to correct this with the augmenting in June if that's necessary. In the Justice Court budget, the mental health line item is over, and it is expected that this will be able to be reimbursed by the Blackjack revenues, which are collected in the Justice Court Special Revenue Fund. Judge Harrington and I are working on that and looking at it closely. I think it's really important to note on her budget that court cases, we make an estimate looking at past history. Unfortunately, some years we end up with more court cases than anticipated, and those specific line items do show overages. And because of that, that's always a consideration when the budget is built, and contingency is built into the entire budget to take care of these items. As well, her computer software line item is over budget, and this is due to an error during the budgeting process where only her court view system was budgeted for and not her Office 365 charges. So that is an error on our side, and we'll make sure that that's corrected at the end of the year. Communications, wages, and benefits are slightly over budget. This is due to the retirement mid-year of the director, and we expect to even out the changes that have been made. Also, IT's line item for rents and leases is over. It's a brand new line item for that, and that was because of unforeseen issues and them needing a temporary office until they're in between moving out of St. Mary's Art Center and their new facility being prepared for them to move into. What else do we have? Again, I just really want to say that looking at the revenues, it's very important that our department heads continue to be conservative with their spending. Looking at revenues as single groupings, we look really good, but overall, I think we need to pay attention to where that's trending. We have some special fund highlights, the main one being emergency management. This is the fund where all of our COVID expenses have been paid for, and that includes all CARES Act expenses. So this overage in the expenses will be counter-leveled by the overage in the revenue we didn't expect from the CARES Act fund. Currently, we have received all of those funds. And the Justice Court, she has a special revenue fund that has is outlined in NRS how much she can collect, the amounts per case that she can collect, and where that money can be spent. Unfortunately, the revenues are down due to the fact that the court has had to close for COVID, and all of the expenses that were budgeted intended to use her ending fund balance as a way to help alleviate the cost of the new Justice Court Center. So even if those revenues do not ramp up like we're expecting right now, you will see the expenses to be in line as to where we have budgeted them. And finally, with BCTC and Pipers, we did anticipate a reduction in both their revenues and expenses, and they are continuing to monitor their budget in a very fiscally conservative manner, and that is appreciated. We're working with them to look and see which events we might be able to move around and collect some revenue in the coming months. But of course, as you know, that is determined by where our governor chooses to go on how tight we're locked down or how more freely we can walk around. I think that's all I have. If anybody has any questions.
All right. Do my fellow commissioners have any questions for Jennifer?
Comment if I may, Jay. I really want to compliment Jennifer and all the departments, everybody that's working together on this. I thought that this was a very comprehensive, easily to understand on a quarterly review process. I believe that these reviews are probably one of the more important things we do at our government seats here as we watch our budgets unfold. And Jennifer has been magic along with all the departments. It's easy to understand. I'm comfortable with the decisions that have made place. And Jennifer, thank you so very much for the report that you put out today. Very nice.
Thank you, Rance. I appreciate that.
Yep. Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Vice Chair Mitchell, do you have anything?
I'd just like to echo those things. I just have one question, Jennifer. So on the revenue side, on the sales tax, do we have an indication of, or a clear picture of how that breaks, the shortfall over what we expected, how that breaks down between, like, new development activities, TRI, or versus kind of your retail sales, recurring type stuff? Do we have any sort of rough breakdown of where we're seeing that come from, or is that pretty hard to tell?
On the level that I see that at, it's hard for me to tell. The revenues are all collected by the clerk's treasurer office, and I'm not really sure the reports that she sees, or if she can give us more in-depth detail at a future time.
Okay, thank you.
Vanessa, go ahead.
Vanessa, for the record. So unfortunately, the reporting we get from the state related to sales tax doesn't provide any kind of breakdown. We can't even get, like, by zip code. So the source for where the sales tax came from is kind of a mystery.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm wondering if there's something that we could do internally. I'll put some brain power to get some sort of notion of how that breaks out, because that would help us gauge the impact on existing businesses versus what's coming from, you know, economic development side.
I think, Clay, the feedback I've had so long from the department is that they do not have the proper software at the Department of Taxation to implement and to spread out or split out all these various costs. And from my experience, that's been ongoing for the last 10 years or more. So I believe it's a software problem, but certainly would be worthwhile looking into. I doubt very seriously the state's going to have the extra revenues to do anything with that in this coming year, but I believe that's where we're going to find the problem.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I'm not going to count on them to do anything, but maybe if there's some sort of something internal that we can do that's not going to be, it's not going to be precise, but it gives us a notion so that we can help in our strategic planning going forward.
And I'd just like to add, I don't want to speak for Vanessa, but I think we are both open to, if any of you would like to see the reports that we receive from the state, go over anything in more depth, I'm happy to set up a time and go through any of that with you. So, Clay, if you want to see the reports we receive and see if you can break them down any further, I think that would be a benefit to everyone.
I appreciate that. Certainly no criticism, and I don't think that I have any sort of magical vision that you folks aren't able to see, but I'll take you up on that. I'll be happy to take a look at it, and then maybe we can brainstorm something so that we get a better, more clear picture, big picture. Thank you.
Thanks to the both of you. Austin, do you have anything?
Not much. I think you all pretty much covered it. I just wanted to reiterate, we have worked with the Department of Taxation on trying to get those numbers down into different categories, and by the time they run everything for the state fair share programming and divide everything up, it's very difficult to get that narrowed down. But there are some things we can look at, and that's about it. Thanks.
Yep. I've got to echo what both my commissioners have said regarding Jennifer's office, Jennifer, and all the other departments. It is an interesting time, let's call it that, and I think everybody's been very flexible, so I want to issue my thanks to all the departments for working with the comptroller's office to, you know, keep things in line. I know we all need stuff, but we're doing the best we can with what's served up in front of us, so I don't have any questions for Jennifer, and again, thank you for that report. All right. Moving on to item number 15, we're going to recess to convene as the Story County Water and Sewer Board. And that brings us to item number 16, which is for discussion only. It's second quarter 2020-2021 budget versus actual overview for Story County Water and Sewer Funds. You are back on, Jennifer.
Good morning again. All right, so starting again with the revenues, I would just like to point out that our water and sewer revenues are tracking as we anticipated. There is there was a recommendation by our auditor that we collect the USDA bond funds in the water and sewer departments because they are enterprise funds. So these do reflect a higher than anticipated revenue, which will have to be revisited when we do the augmenting process and in the future budget. However, the amounts of the USDA funds that have been collected stand out quite brightly, so it's very easy to separate what is normal operating revenue and what were the loan funds. Our expenses in the water and sewer department, the salaries and benefits are slightly over budget. This is due to adjustments in staffing and reorganization that went on in the public works department. They've had several changes and have moved some things around, received some new employees, and during the discussion to take on these changes, we did expect that there were going to have to be some augment going on at the end of the year, and we're working very hard to make sure that these overages are not lowering the level of service that our customers and taxpayers expect from these service-oriented funds. Overall, I'm really happy with where the water and sewer is sitting right now. We do have the rate increases that will come about each year for the next few years, and those are in anticipation of the bond loans that we will have to pay back. For example, the current USDA water revenue bonds are $39,000 a year. With the new loans that we have just started receiving, that will go up to $137,000 approximately per year, where the sewer had a higher yearly payment back because their project lagged behind a little bit is $250,000, and with the new Old Hill, that will go up to approximately $260,000 a year. So although they're trending within budget, those rate increases were necessary, and we'll begin to see that in future budget.
All right. Do my fellow commissioners have any questions for Jennifer?
No question, Jay.
Thank you, Lance. Nothing from Clay, and I have no questions either. Thank you for that, Jennifer. Much appreciated. That brings us to item number 17. We are going to recess to convene as the 474 Fire Protection District Board. And that brings us to item number 18, which is for discussion only, no action. Second quarter 2021 budget versus actual overview for the 474 Fire District.
Good morning again, Jennifer McCain, Story County Comptroller for the record, and Fire Chief Jeremy Lomkar is available if you have any questions for him. As with the revenues with the rest of the Story County, the Fire District is also trending in a positive movement. However, we need to make sure that we are aware that the property taxes are front-loaded, as with the general fund, and this will level out as time goes on, so I think we'll fall in line with where the budget is. I think it's really important to note that the Fire District has also spent conservatively, and unfortunately their wages and salaries will be over budget. This is due to the fact that the union contract was not signed and put into effect until September 2020. It was the Joint Budget Committee decision that when we budgeted for their wages and benefits, we would keep them status quo, not knowing where the union negotiations would land. We are prepared to augment this budget if necessary at the end of the year. I have had many conversations with Chief Lonkar. He understands that he inherited this budget through June 30th, and I believe that our working closely together, he's prepared to keep moving forward in a positive, conservative level to make this budget work. And we're looking forward to the next budget season when he can create his own budget and be creative with all of his grants to help save money and build the ending fund balance of the fire district, which is a necessary thing to do. I think that's it. If anybody has any questions or if Chief Lonkar would like to add anything.
Jeremy, do you have anything for us?
Hi, Commissioners. Yes, I just really want to thank Jennifer. She has been an amazing help through this whole thing. I call her, communicate with her quite frequently, and I think we've got a pretty good grasp on where we need to go to finish out the year, start making sure that any fund balance is coming up. And on one other note is we will have some more money coming back in as well to help with those wages, because we do have three firefighters that have purchased off a SAFER grant, which we've not received any funding yet. So there's 3 months of three guys on there. So it's small in the whole scope of things, but we will be requesting funding from them here within the next week. And that's all I have.
All right. Do my fellow commissioners have any questions for Jennifer or Chief Lonkar?
Chairman,
yes.
If I may just clarify a couple things that Jeremy said.
Sure.
Although we do expect those revenues from the SAFER grant to come in, that is a separate line item, and it doesn't go into directly into the budgets of where the wages and benefits are paid out of. So we will see those revenue numbers, which will help level out the wages, but you will still see the overage in the wage line item.
Thank you for that clarification, Jennifer. Fellow commissioners, any questions?
No, I just celebrate her. She really has control of her desk there. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
Yep, I got to agree with you, Commissioner Gilman. You know, Jennifer and you know, Chief Lonkar seem to be working well together. I'm going to go ahead to Vice Chairman Mitchell here.
Yeah, just want to express my thanks for keeping things in check, keeping a little unexpected and things uncertain times, and so we appreciate that. As things level out, I feel like we're in good hands.
Yeah, so to take back over, I had the opportunity to sit down with Jennifer and Chief Lonkar, and you know, I'm very happy to see the move that Chief Lonkar is making as far as trying to secure a bunch of grants. I know the fire department does need some things, and hopefully we'll move forward with some spring cleaning as well. So I'm definitely happy the direction that the fire department is taking. So with that's all I have. Thank you again, Jennifer and Chief Lonkar. We will move on to item number 19, excuse me. Consideration and possible acceptance, excuse me, this is for discussion and possible action. Consideration and possible acceptance of exclusive franchise agreement from Story County for the provision of ambulance services within the Story County Fire Protection District. Chief Lonkar.
Hi, Commissioners, Chairman Lonkar again. I just want to say this, just as previously stated in the County Commissioners meeting, it's just important we move through this and secure our future in the ambulance transport. Nothing further to add.
Thank you very much. Fellow commissioners, have any questions?
I have no questions. Thank you, Jake.
All right, thank you. Neither do I. Thank you, Chief Lonkar.
Chairman?
Yep.
I'd like to make one comment.
Yes.
This is a franchise agreement which takes two parties. And so since the county has already granted the franchise agreement, it's up to the fire district to accept it. So that it is then a contract, and that's why this is on here.
Thank you for that clarification. I'm going to move over to public comment. Is there anybody that has any comments regarding this item? Seeing none, Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you like to entertain a motion for this?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I, Fire Commissioner Mitchell, move to accept the grant of exclusive franchise from Story County for the provision of ambulance services within the Story County Fire Protection District.
And I'll second that motion.
All right, there was a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you again. Moving on to item number 20. This is for discussion and possible action. Update to the Story County Fire Protection District policies and procedures. Policy 65, leave for coronavirus-related reasons. Chief Lonkar.
For this one, I'll go ahead and defer to Toby. It's a kind of a mere policy as what was presented to the county commissioners.
All right, Toby.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is pretty much identical to the policy heard by the county board of commissioners. The staff is recommending the extension of certain COVID-19 emergency paid leave options that were previously provided under the Families First Coronavirus Response Act. In doing so, we recognize that the pandemic is still ongoing and there will continue to be COVID-19 related situations during which the employees of the district will need to have adequate leave to take when it becomes necessary to isolate, recuperate, and avoid spreading the virus by exposing their coworkers and members of our community. This is not a provision of additional leave time, but rather just an extension of any balance of emergency paid sick leave not used during calendar year 2020. And we're proposing an amended expiration date of June 30th, 2021.
Thank you for that, Toby. Is there anything else from Chief Lonkar before I go to public comment?
No, thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you. Is there any public comment regarding this item? All right, not seeing any. No questions from my fellow commissioners?
No questions, thank you, sir.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you like to entertain a motion, please?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Based on the recommendation by staff and in conformance with the Story County Fire Protection District policies and procedures, I, Vice Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the amendments to Story County Fire Protection District policies and procedures 065, leave for coronavirus COVID-19 related reasons.
Second that motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Chief Lonkar and Toby. This brings us to item number 21. We're going to recess to reconvene as a Story County Board of County Commissioners. And before we jump on to item number 22, I would like to ask Vice Chairman Mitchell if you'd like to make a motion for a 5-minute recess.
I'd be happy to do that. I'll move that we take a 5-minute recess.
I'll second that motion.
All right, motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. We will see you all in 5 minutes.